I see Micah running outside. That was kind of funny. You guys, some of you missed it. I was watching him. Yeah, he runs for coffee, as Corey says. Praise God. One thing, Bob, I just want to highlight because I don't want people to miss it, was I thought his question about what kind of a fisherman are you? It's a good one. See, remember it talks about love your enemies? It talks about love your enemies. And how do you love your enemies? You show them Jesus Christ, right? You show them the love of Jesus Christ. I mean, anybody who's not saved is an enemy, right? So you go unto them and you find your way in, which is what a fisherman does. A good fisherman finds his way in. He ran for his Bible. Praise God. That was good there, Micah. Hallelujah. Here we were talking about how you ran for your coffee, but it was for his Bible. That was good. But I just want you to know that's a really important thing, and you have to use different weights. I mean, different. Sometimes you have to use different weights, actually, too. But you have to use different baits to catch the fish. Yeah, weights work if you want to knock them out. But I just share it with you from that standpoint because it's something to think, and it's kind of that mustard seed type of faith where you don't give up. You know, you throw it out, you try different things, and it is, in the end, between them and the Lord. I mean, none of us can save anybody. None of us can. It's only the Holy Spirit that can draw them. But the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit's with you. And because the Holy Spirit is with you and you are with them, the Holy Spirit can reach them. And before you get to them, you know what you can do? You can send that Holy Spirit up ahead. It's a wonderful thing. You can send that Holy Spirit up ahead to prepare the way for you. To prepare them to be open and ready to receive that which the Lord has. And it's an amazing thing, what God can do. Now, this morning, I forget if it was when I was getting out of the shower, my son Joseph, I hear my wife talking. I think I was still in the shower. So I hear my wife talking to my son Joseph. Joseph, stop picking at your skin, or whatever it was. He was probably picking at his lip, but I don't know. Okay, and she was saying, look, I mean, you know, that God's given you that to protect you. It keeps you from infection and all of these different things. And it got me thinking about the body of Christ. And surprisingly, a bunch of things fit together you might not thought fit together. One of the things I was thinking, as I said, and I actually said it to Joe, of course, what's the largest organ in the body?
Skin.
The skin. And is the skin flexible? I mean, you can go, you know, the neat thing about this body, it's like a walled fortress the skin provides. But it's mobile. And it's not like a tank rigid and can only go one way. Man, it can dodge, it can move, it can jive, it can jump, it can run, it can stop, it can do all sorts of things. It can lie down. Our bodies are an amazing, amazing fortress. What's the body of Christ? We say a mighty fortress is our God. Do we not? See, what's the... When we talk about the fortress of our God, I mean, we call him he's our buckler, he's our shield, he's all of these things. You know, put on the whole armor of God, we talk about all of these things. The body of Christ, which is the church, is a mighty fortress, a mighty fighting machine, mighty to the pulling down of strongholds and doing the extraordinary works of God. Now, the beauty about the time we live in versus the time Jesus lived in, let me tell you, it's a wonderful thing. Because in the time of Jesus, where was the body of Christ? Wherever Jesus was. So if Jesus was in Galilee, was it in, you know, America? No. Was it in China? No. Was it in South Africa? No. Was it in England? No. It was in Galilee. But today, that body of Christ can be all over this world. That is an amazing thing, an amazing call, and a wonderful promise to us. Now, last week on Wednesday, it was last week because we're in the first day of the week now. We talked about, Robin had preached out of on Sunday, Titus chapter 2, and I'll just read this one little verse. And then we're going to go over to Matthew 6, which was kind of just a little bit past where Bob was earlier. But I'm just going to read this little verse out of Titus 2. Where? Verse 14. Who gave himself, referring to Jesus, for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, which is pride, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, I wanted to hit that. Purifying himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. And last Wednesday, I was chatting about who wants the Ezekiel call, you know, the Ezekiel ministry. Who wants the, you know, the one who, you remember Ezekiel, you know, the roof, the tongue cleaves to the roof of his mouth. He can only speak when God gives it to him to speak, and then he has to not speak and pantomime. He's got all that stuff. We talked about him. We talked about the Elijah. We talk about, say, the David. We may talk about the Moses or the Paul or the Peter, John the Baptist. I bring it up because, you know, it's the amazing thing. We can have all of those ministries taking place in his body at the same time. You were there, and so was Rob, and so was Rick, so was I, so was Carrie. Cheryl was probably there too, but she was a little girl. She was like you guys. She was probably like Ruthie's age or something. But I remember we were singing that song, The Former and the Latter Rain Together, and I'm not talking about the weather. And as we were singing that song, one of the things that Davey prophesied was he was going to bring the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints together. Did he not? As one. Is that not what we need to see, folks? The Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints brought together as one to go forward across this globe? That whatever is the perfect need in every single spot, God will supply that which the body needs to minister to those people? Are you willing to be purified by him to become a peculiar person like they were peculiar? Zealous unto good works. See, this is an amazing promise, folks. An amazing promise. But if you notice, the purifying process leads to a peculiarity. I think I kind of said that, right? A peculiarity. Wasn't even speaking in tongues. Peculiarity. And most people don't like to be peculiar, do you? People look at somebody that's peculiar and say, that person's peculiar. That person's, well, they don't say that anymore today. They already know the word peculiar. It's too many syllables with little subtle things from like the French or something like that. Who knows? But so they would say some kind of made up word they've created today. But peculiar. People don't like being peculiar. Tough. If you want people to see Christ Jesus, then you're going to have to be willing to be extraordinarily peculiar. And what's amazing, and I wanted to turn here to Matthew 6, because most people probably haven't really thought of this verse from the body of Christ standpoint, but I believe it's right where we've been at. So I'm going to share it with you from the body of Christ standpoint. Let's see, where is it? Okay. The real verse I'm trying to get down to is 22, but I'm just going to take it back a little bit further to put it in context because it hits with where we are. He says in verse 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Kind of stinks when that happens, doesn't it? Anybody like it when the moths or the rust or the mice or the whatever it is get in there and take that which you have that you really liked and destroy it? Anybody like that? I hate it. I find it very infuriating and frustrating. But that's how this world is. How about when people come in and steal it from you? That's even worse. You feel violated and stuff like that. I mean, it really stinks. So look, so let's take the thing when we let's learn the lesson from it. Let's not have our treasure here. But let's watch what the next verse says. But sometimes you can have but in there, and it's a good thing. Here, Jesus, because he's contrasting the bad with the good, the but is a good one. Usually we're contrasting the good with the bad, and we're trying to justify ourselves in the bad. But that's not what Jesus is doing here, is he? That was what Joseph was doing this morning. But, Dad, Sam did this. I get it. I didn't say Sam was said wrapped too tight or did things smart or right. Doesn't justify you in what you were doing, though. That, it didn't. So, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Wow, you mean something, a place where I can have it forever and enjoy it forever? And nobody can take it away from me? That's kind of cool. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, one of the things we've been talking about, and Phil was talking a little bit about our old man, and how he was talking a little bit about laughing at his old man today. And I agree with Phil. Let's laugh at our old man. I was just up praying. Lord showed me a couple things about my old man. It was very funny. They were probably not as funny to you guys, so I won't share. But it was very funny to me, looking at myself and how stupid I was and some of the different things I used to think. And just to me, it was extraordinary how God could take such a one and transform him into the guy who's before you today. And I chuckled at myself. I thought it was rather humorous. But lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, what kind of treasures can you lay up in heaven? For example, when you, the things that are of God, right? God, mercy, grace, these are things of God, right? These are things that we need. They're things that we need. How do we store up treasure in heaven in our bank account, so to speak, so that we can draw down upon it when we have need? By extending those things unto others. As we do that, we build up. What's it say? He's merciful to the merciful, the scripture says, right? He resisteth the proud. So we store up humility. We operate in humility. All the things, what you'll find is that all the good things of God that he's working in your heart and mind and life usually really feel pretty stinky and crappy and everything to your flesh. Like learning long-suffering, which is a very good thing to have, right? Long-suffering, it's an attribute of love. But the very name in it sounds very unappealing. It's kind of like mushroom if you're Micah, or onion if you're Joe, or tomato if you're Carter, right? It's like, ew, I don't want any of that. But good for you, right? But you see what I'm saying? So let's turn our eyes upon, let's set our affection upon things above. So he goes on and he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. All right. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, we've generally taught this from the perspective of us as individuals, right? You know, turning each of our individual, turn my eyes upon Jesus, set my eyes. You even sang the song today about them. But also, when it's talking about a body, it's talking about the body of Christ. See, and what's been happening here over the last number of months is the Lord's been turning our focus away from ourselves and the things of this life unto him and the things of the life we have in him. Isn't that what he's been doing? And as we turn our eyes, what happens is this body gets filled with light. Now, by contrast, it was funny, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be filled with light, right? But if thine eye be evil, you know, it shall be in darkness. I want to show you something. You know, we have a lot of stuff out here, and we have these things that have been co-opted or usurped or stolen from us by groups that hate God, honestly. Take rainbow, you know, the colors of the rainbow, or diversity, or any of these things, you know, embrace diversity. I love diversity, personally. I've always loved diversity. I don't know why, but I like diversity of food. I'll eat this food, that food, the other food. I enjoy trying new things. I enjoy going new places. I enjoy experiencing different cultures and different things and all that stuff. I love diversity. Not in the way in which they talk about it, but I do love diversity. You know, if you're a part of the body, you got to love diversity. I was talking to James, I think it was, and we were talking about judgment and a bunch of different things. And it was funny, the example I used with James was the armpit. Anybody like the armpit? Anybody like the armpit? I mean, like, for example, if you are the nose, do you like the armpit? No, I mean, people don't like the armpit if you're the nose or whatever. But I'll tell you what, that armpit is extraordinary. You know why? Because the reason why there exists an armpit is because there's a thing called a shoulder. A shoulder is a really powerful joint, isn't it? I mean, really useful, practical, helps you accomplish all sorts of things. But in order to have a shoulder that does all those things, you got to have an armpit, too. Dave used to say, got to take the ass with the hide. Remember that? Forgive me for those people who are offended at me referring to an animal in service. But you got to take the ass with the hide. So you want to have a shoulder that provides all that extraordinary functionality. You also get the armpit with it. And that's how we are with one another sometimes, aren't we? We kind of get focused rather on the thing we don't like about somebody rather than the extraordinary usefulness the person provides in something else. Don't we find that? And what's amazing, I was thinking this week, because I don't know about you guys, sometimes when I think about what the Lord has called, I know, us to accomplish, it seems so far beyond reality and outside anything I can, well, I can imagine it coming to pass, and I can be full of hope at moments, and then every once in a while, my hope falters. I don't know, has it ever happened to you guys where, I mean, you know, your hope can falter as an individual, but as the head of this ministry, I can tell you my hope falters in that this could ever accomplish through our ministry sometimes as well. It's just the truth. I think about you guys a lot. You don't maybe realize it, but I actually do. And so sometimes I get kind of down in the dumps. I'm not too happy. I'm not too hopeful. I'm not too a bunch of different things. Woe is me. It's funny, this week the Lord just used a bunch of little things to show me how he's working. I'll give you a small one. Last night we were talking about, Megan and I took a walk down to check out our property and plan out our house, which the plan I had in my head before that we got up there doesn't seem like it's going to work. Bummer. Praise God. We'll come up with a better plan, I'm sure, that God has. So that's all right. So we're walking. Well, Megan had to stop by because you can't take a woman anywhere without her having to go to the bathroom. So I take her, and what happened? She had to go to the bathroom. She goes to the outside bathroom out there. You know the ones, guys. And you know what? It was rather untidy. I don't know who could have used it to make it so, but it was rather untidy with the kind of bathroom things that you usually don't want to look at when you go into the bathroom that were untidy about it. She just tidied it up a little bit. But in the process, I came back and I was mentioning to Cheryl last night the untidiness of it. And Cheryl's moving down there, and so that's kind of now on her property and stuff like that. And she's trying to figure out, what do I do with all this stuff? And what do I do with that untidy bathroom that I don't even use? I was thinking about this, but it was funny. One of the things that came up is her mom and she were talking about it. And I forget what you said, Ann. But I remember Cheryl saying, well, that's an outside bathroom. It should be available to all. And I thought, you know what? That was very kind of Cheryl. Even though it was untidy and she had just gotten the report of untidiness, that was loving of Cheryl. Hallelujah. Praise God. She's not crying and I'm talking about her. It's an amazing thing. And I was listening to Bob the other day talking about Corey and Maggie going, and he told Corey he wanted them to put together a punch list of everything he wants done. Now, Corey's been working hard up there and at periodically running into landmines and headaches and beating his head against the wall and other different types of things as he's tried to grapple with the responsibility of dealing with all this stuff and doing things. And he struggled every once in a while, right? So you know what? He's about ready to leave, and he didn't finish everything. How inconvenient of him. Shame on him. Does he not lovest thou us? He was loving us. Let me tell you something. Corey worked hard on a lot of other things. The only thing he'd been doing was that, he'd have been done. But he worked on a whole lot of other things as well. But what happened is other members of the body were forward to want to complete it so that when you and your family come back, you walk into your new home. Now, it may not look like the TV show homes. No, it won't look like the TV show homes. Let me just say, it won't look like the TV show home, but it'll be your home. And I know it'll be a blessing to you and your family. Praise God. And I was watching. There were these little things, just these little things. And listening to, like, Scott wanting to, you know, drive down, I mean, take his vacation again and go down to James and help him get his bus ready and the conversion. And we got all these different, you know, Phil's going down. We got all these different things that are going. And you know what I see? I see a body working together, and I see love knitting us together as one in Christ. It's an extraordinary thing. And yet, what each part is supplying is something different. It's something different, which is exactly how a body works. A body is an extraordinarily diverse organism, isn't it? I mean, it's amazingly diverse in its functions. So when I embrace diversity, I embrace that diversity. You know, I embrace the mountains and the valleys, the deserts, like out here, and the swamps and the real wet areas, the rainforest and stuff like that. I embrace the snow. I embrace the heat. I embrace the water. I embrace it all. I mean, to me, it's all extraordinary. I mean, you walk out here in the desert, and I think it was last week, we had those kind of, what kind of color flowers would you say were on those barrel cactuses? Fuchsia. Fuchsia flowers. How many fuchsia flowers are there naturally occurring in the world? There really aren't a whole lot, truth be told, naturally occurring. But you know what? I mean, out here in the middle of the desert, and we haven't had rain really to speak of for months, but those barrel cactuses still somehow or other produce a beautiful fuchsia flower. Wish it lasted a little bit longer, but while it was here, the children and I went up and enjoyed it, picked some for the mothers for Mother's Day, and they were beautiful to look at and take some pictures of and remind us of the beauty that even out here in the desert exists. And so I share this because in the body, we have to, as we pray these prayers, the Ephesians prayer, as we see ourselves and are putting off that old man and stuff like that and putting on that new man, we need to keep in mind the big picture. The Lord is indeed able, and he is indeed accomplishing that. He is answering our prayers, and he's bringing us together in accordance with that. He actually is. It's a miracle above miracles that he is. And the beauty, you know, Bob talks about going out and, you know, just being yourself and how that's going to bear testimony of the Lord in your lives, because it's different than how you've been in the past. And you guys have already seen that. And you're now going to get the second wave of that as you see other family members who last summer weren't quite so ready to embrace the diversity that was now Corey and Maggie. But now their curiosity has been piqued and they're ready to come. So praise God. Praise God. And I was thinking, because we were talking to Gene. I didn't talk to Gene, but I talked to Karen, who talked to Gene the other night, because keep Gene in prayer. Her hubby's going through some rough things, mostly because the fact of the matter is, as she's gone forward and he's rejected that testimony of the Lord, things are falling apart all over around his life. And she happens to be his wife, which means she's got like a front row seat to the, you know, the falling apart of everything. And it's not easy, but it's not because of her. It's not because of her. And we need to keep her in prayer. But what you see is now Jean's a pretty big, well, she's not big. Jean's a pretty skinny Holocaust survivor she's not really a Holocaust survivor. She just used to look like a Holocaust survivor. Former drunk, former this, former that, former the other thing, and the key word being former. She ain't wrapped too tight. And yet, because she's chosen Jesus has had his grace upon her and been showing other people what he can do through her example in her life. And really, that's the thing, is that that's what each of us are. I want to take you to, I think it's in Philippians 2. We're finish up here. I think it's Philippians 2. There's a bunch of things on the body I was thinking of going through, but we'll skip all that stuff. But I think it's over in Philippians 2 where Paul talks about, and he has some good verses in there, but he talks about, as you receive Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. I think it's over there in Philippians 2. But if not, that's what he says. And the point about that that I want to highlight. Which verse is it? Colossians 2. excuse me. Did I say Philippians? I did. And that's what I meant, so I was just wrong. Which verse in Colossians 2? 6? Okay. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. When you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, recognizing you're a wretched sinner in need of help, your situation is desperate, things are falling apart. When you receive Christ Jesus as sinner, what hope did you have in yourself? None. And your circumstances, were they very good? No. As you receive Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. So now why do we get all concerned about all the circumstances and how horrid we are? Why? I mean, really, think about it. Why? Pride, as Robin's mouthing from the back. She's right, because we don't want to be like that. Now that we, no, but the truth is that's how we are. So our hope is not in this life, right, as we sang. The old man we get to laugh at, yeah, who cares? Who cares? Christ doesn't care. Other people may care because they find it inconvenient, kind of like the armpit, right? There's a lot of times the part of the body you are, there's kind of like one component which is very useful, and then there's this related component that is very not so apparently useful. Well, that's often the part we're trying to get rid of. But it's there to do what? Humble us. Humble us, make it not about us, and make us think we're some great thing or whatever. As you received Christ Jesus, the same guy who was there when you were desperate and had no one and nothing and only one, your focus became single on what he could possibly do to help you in this kind of situation, so walk you in him. So the situations, the screw-ups, the different things that you do, it's not that they're not there. It's not that you want to continue in them. Don't hear me wrong. Not that you want to do any of those things. But in the same way you came to him at the beginning, you continue to walk in them to the end. That's what you do. And as you do that, what happens? Those things no longer control you. Those things come under subjection. And you walk on water. Basically, you walk on top of those things. All right? Those things are no longer your life. They no longer control your life. They're still there, but you have risen above those circumstances by faith in Christ Jesus. And that's what you walk in. And that's fun. That's fun. It really is. It's a lot of fun. And that's what the Lord's bringing us together to do. And as you begin to do that, you know what's going to happen? This body that he's beginning to put together is going to go forward in a mighty power. And there's going to be more people. I was thinking, what? We have a family that's moving out here. A family that came to us with nothing. Did you guys come with anything? Did anybody send any money out with you or anything? Oh, well, you know what? We're sending you Corey and Maggie. Here's, you know, $10,000 to take care of them for the next little bit of time or whatever. Build them a house, get all these different things. Did anybody do any of that? Go figure. I don't know why. But did the Lord provide all you needed? From what? I mean, is there anybody? I mean, were we like just rolling in the dough? Is that what it was? You just come out here and you look. It's like, oh, my God, it's the Golden Temple. It's all of these things. Is that what you saw when you got out here? Do you see a rich people who had lots of resources and everything? Is that what you've come to dwell amongst? And yet the Lord made room for you. You know what? There's a lot more room in this body. There is a lot more room in this body. I want to see this body grow. So, look. Turn your eyes upon him. He is going to accomplish this. It's going to be his work. Not our work, but we get the wonderful blessing of being a part of it. And as I finish that, there's one verse I just want to read to you out of 1 Peter chapter 1, because I didn't read it, but it's the one that I want to say because it's where our hope is. Okay, watch this. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to just read a couple verses, but verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that what we were talking about over there with your eye being single and stuff like that for a moment ago? Now watch this. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, we are kept not by ourselves, but by the power of God. That's how we're kept. The power of God does not change. The power of God does not weaken. The power of God, is his hand is not short to save and to bring each of us through to the end. The power of God is what all of our hope and trust has to be in, that he can accomplish and that we can really drive, turn things back. Because I'll tell you what, as a people go forward with the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints together, you know what's going to happen? People's lives are going to be changed. They are going to be changed and transformed by the same power of God that has transformed us. And that's where our hope needs to be. And it's rightly to be there because it's true. Amen. Father, we thank you very much for this day. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the hope we have in you. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will move mightily in each and every one of our lives who listen to this message and receive it, to bring to pass in its fullness that prophetic word that went forward from your apostle Richard over 20 years ago back in Vermont, that you will indeed bring together the Old and the New Testament saints together as one body, one man, going forth across this globe to make known your love. And we ask these things and submit ourselves unto you, that we may be a part of that, and that others may come and join with us, and we may embrace them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, folks, that concludes our service this morning. We look forward to those who will be joining us for the discipleship meeting tonight at 6. And otherwise, we'll be back here on Wednesday night at 7. May the Lord bless you.